I've had plenty of reasons to go around being the, quote, victim in my life. But I don't. I don't give a shit. So that's the point, guys. Never feel guilty. And if you have kids out there that they will, oh, well, you know, Johnny now is, he was stealing and he got put into prison. Oh, why is that? Oh, well, it's simply because my parents got divorced and I never got over it. Bullshit.
Peter.
All right, ladies and gents, we're back today. Interesting one today, divorce. Now, I'm a child of divorce. And funny enough, I actually haven't talked about divorce really in depth until right now. It's been a year since the podcast. And you know something? It just never came up for some weird reason. And I'm kind of kicking myself, I have to admit. I'm fucking, Peter, what the fuck, man? So much to talk about and so much to go through. But hey, we're doing it today. And here's why this came up. First of all, guys, I hope I'm going to be some use to you here. Because look, if you, any of you are out there that you are divorced or you're going through a divorce or you're even thinking about getting a divorce, maybe I can help, especially if you have kids. Because I'll tell you what it's like from a kid's point of view. And hopefully it'll help, because I think a lot of parents, they definitely do have a lot of guilt when it comes to this conversation, right? You get, you know, you're divorcing John or you're divorcing Mary or whoever. And oh my God, what are the kids are going to be going through? And so I get it, you know, and I've seen it from firsthand experience. And hopefully we can be some benefit to you guys today. So really, first of all, let me just start off by saying, guys, we're going to go through what it's like for me, how, what the stages I went through, and what the good and the bad. And we're also going to go look at the impact, the psychological impact that it has on a divorced parent. Now, of course, I can't speak on that one, but maybe I can give some insight too, right? Because I see it, you know, and I also see it from everybody's point of view here. So really, guys, how this came up was, I was actually having a few drinks with a guy I know who's getting divorced at the moment. And he was, it was funny, he's coping okay, right? It's been a while now and he's just getting on with it, which is great to see from him. It's, you know, pat on the back for him, absolutely. Because it is fucking tough for everybody involved. He's got a couple of kids and we're having a few drinks. And he was mentioning, we were talking about dating. And he was asking me, how's the dating scene at the moment? How is the social media channel? And I said, well, at the moment, it's kind of, in a way, it's sort of dipped down at the moment here now in February and March 2024. Now, we're not in March yet, but we're close enough. So it's kind of going on a downhill trajectory here. That's what I'm seeing, guys, at the moment. But that's okay. It just goes up and down, I guess, right? It's still winter. It's cold. People are don't have a lot of money, so people just aren't in great moods. But it'll go back up again. So we were talking about all this the other day, and then he was talking about himself now on dating apps, and he's talking to a couple of girls. He's gone on a couple of dates, which has been great. But then he talks more about going in depth in terms of, I asked him, well, would he like to meet somebody? And he's in the position now where he doesn't want to settle down with somebody else. Right. For now, anyway. For now. And he does think about it quite a lot. In fact, he feels he overthinks. Right. Where he thinks, do you know, like, Peter, you think about the kids a lot here now. Where you're thinking, well, okay, if I did meet a girl now, and if I want to be with her, and if she's got kids, what the fuck happens here? Like, am I going to be taking care of her kids? Do I want to be taking care of her kids? Then he's flipping it around. Does she want to be with me because I've got kids? And does she want to look after my kids? Does she want to be the new mommy? Does he want to be the new daddy? So he said there's a lot of overthinking. He's even said that it would sort of stop you going on a few dates too, if memory serves me correct. I think he said that. It would stop you going on dates. Now, I think he'd still talk to girls, but it would, he said, you know, just a lot of analyzing, man, too much thinking. And he said, you know, this could be a good one for your podcast. And I went, actually, and all of a sudden my hamster's starting to turn here. So I've been thinking a lot about it, guys, and I've been going through some articles now online, checking out what to talk about, seeing if anything can, well, more importantly, see if anything relates to me, right? That's the most important. I mean, there's no point in me just sprouting off fucking shit on a podcast here when I don't have a clue what I'm talking about. So I'm going to go through what I went through. And first of all, guys, right, before we get into it, if anybody is a bit like, oh my God, there's a great happy ending to this. So I just want to make sure everybody knows this. There's a very, very good happy ending to this. And I think, I can't speak for every kid of divorce like me, but for me, it's been a great ending. There's a lot of positives out of the rough here. A lot of positives out of a rough situation. And of course, like I said, though, I can't speak for every child out there. So anyway, let's get to it. So I wrote down, guys, now a couple of notes the other day. Now, my parents, I actually can't remember the exact age I was, but I'm fairly certain it was when I was 15 or 16. Now, 15 or 16, no, like this gentleman I was speaking to the other day, his kids are much younger than that. So it's going to be harder. It's going to be more confusing for that type of age group. Of course it is. Now, then again, you could always flip that around and say, well, actually, the older you get, the less you can bounce back from things because you're still in that child mind state. There's a lot to debate on that one. But either way, most important is communication. We'll get into that a little more in a minute. So for me, guys, when I went through this, look, let's not sugarcoat this. Of course, there's heartbreak. Of course. When you're 15, 16, like I was, and I've got a brother and two sisters, and of course, you're literally heartbroken. It's like, oh my God, what the hell, what the hell? There is that little voice in my head back in the day, and I'll never forget it. I won't forget it ever. There was a little bittersweet coming out of this, though. I said to myself, well, geez, they do fight a lot and they don't get on much. So I couldn't necessarily pinpoint why I was feeling that little bit relieved in a way. Now, by the way, guys, you know, I just want to clear up the record here. My parents, they just had fights. That's all. Verbal fights, right? There was never any physical violence. There was nothing like that. I don't want anybody going off thinking that. Absolutely not. They just didn't get on. So they just had some verbal fights, right? And obviously, there was enough to say, look, we're done here, okay? And I know, look, there's other parents out there that can be physically abusive to each other. That's not the case for me. So if you are in that situation, I cannot speak on that half. But for me anyway, there was heartbreak. There's no doubt about it. No two ways about it. And then, of course, the second stage as a kid of divorce, you do feel guilt. And I think, look, I think most people in the world even know this, whether you're divorced or not or married or not. I think a lot of people know this, that of course the kid's going to feel, oh my God, was it me? Did I fucking do this? Oh, Jesus Christ, Lord God, what the fuck, man, what the fuck? And of course you feel that. And at the same time, you do have that, well, it's good that they're away from each other, you know? And now, and then what happened for me was I spoke to my parents. Communication. That is the key for any child going through divorce, just like me. You need to talk to your parents. And guys, look, if you're one of these people that's very open with your feelings, that's fantastic. That's going to be a lot easier. If you're one of these bottlers, well, you should start to fucking talk to your parents, or you need to sit your kid down, and I wouldn't say force it out of them, but they need to realize the importance of how important it is to talk to them, express your feelings, right? I mean, especially if your kid says, well, God, is it us? Is it us and me? Is it me and my brother and two sisters? Jeez, what did we do? Or is it me? Oh my God. The key here. Because even, guys, and I'll tell you this, if there's any parents that have kids here and you're divorced, trust me on this one. If you're getting a divorce or you've just been through one and you're not sure how your kid's feeling, if they've never spoken to you about it, talk to them and even address, like they say, the elephant in the room. Even if your little Johnny now example, right? Johnny just says, okay, mom, that sounds good. Or okay, dad, that sounds fine. Maybe he's not fine. Maybe, and look, hey, maybe he is fine, right? I mean, that's a great thing. But I honestly think as a parent, you need to address the elephant in the room and talk to Johnny and say, look, Johnny, it looks like you're getting on okay with this, right? Oh yeah, mom, I'm fine. Or he could be in a little bit, you know, he doesn't want to bring it up. But even if he is fine, if you bring up the conversation that, look, Johnny, I just want you to make sure, right? 100%, Johnny, this isn't your fault. Now, if Johnny is really adapting okay, he won't have a problem with you bringing that up because he's surviving already. And in fact, if anything, it's going to make him feel a bit better. Now, he might be a bit timid and he will, oh, look, mom, I don't want to talk about this. You got to talk about this with them guys, okay? I know you don't want to upset your kid. That's very understandable. You don't want to be bringing it back up again. But if you've never addressed that elephant in the room, you need to stop what you're doing and tell them. Because I guarantee you, it's crossed their mind. Now, and it was just like for me. I talked to my parents. I realized it wasn't me. It was just their thing they couldn't get on. So that's what I would say, guys, okay? Please take that away from this. Now, as the years go on, you do feel a lot better. And it's so important, guys. I mean, if you can imagine, you need to have that conversation with your kids about that it's not their fault as fast as you possibly fucking can. And I'll tell you why. Because imagine a ship going through the sea. Now, let's say there's a ship right behind the one in front. They're both going in the exact same direction. And they're going, let's say, 100 miles down, right? So let's say the ship is right behind the one in front, okay? Literally right behind it. Like if you were in front of the front ship, you wouldn't see the one in the back, right? They're that level, okay? Imagine this. Our minds and the way we can take a meaning out of something, and it mightn't affect us right here, right now, but it will affect us in the long run. So for a kid, if you address the elephant in the room, the ship behind will go the 100-mile direction right behind the one in front. Dead straight, everything. Now, here's where it gets a bit fucked up. And imagine this. If you don't address the elephant in the room, the ship behind all of a sudden has a little turn in his wheel. Now, it could be the very smallest. Let's say, imagine the steering wheel on the ship now, guys, okay? The one on behind. And you turn that steering wheel 1 millimeter to the right. And the ship is actually responding to that 1 millimeter, right? Now, when you're behind the ship initially, it doesn't, you know, it's still right behind, right? Because it's only a tiny, tiny little adjustment. So right here, for the first couple of miles, you're not going to see any change because it's such a small thing. Now, you multiply that out by 100 miles or, fuck it, even more than that. In the long run, your ship, at the end of, maybe 100 miles is a bit small. Let's say, I don't know, 1,000 miles, all right? But you get where I'm going with this. 1,000 miles down, that ship is going to be so far away from the one in front, it's going to be going in a completely different journey. So imagine that. The slightest millimeter turn of the wheel when you're behind at the start of your journey, nothing gets noticed. Everybody looks like they're going in the same direction. But you multiply that out by 1,000 miles. All of a sudden, you look 1,000 miles down the road. You've got two ships going in two completely different fucking directions. So what's my main point here? The slightest thing, guys, if they walk away with the guilt, thinking that it's them, all of a sudden they're going on their journey and they're going to look at things differently in the world. Versus if you get to them straight away, all of a sudden they'll be different. They'll be more relaxed. Now, what happens if you don't have a chat to them? You don't have a chat to them, they have that guilt in their head. All of a sudden, what could happen? Something could come up career-wise. All of a sudden, they feel this guilt and they don't deserve this subconsciously and all that. And guess what? 1,000 miles down the road, they don't want that job now. In fact, they've even rejected the job. Or they don't want to get into a relationship with anybody. Versus if you had the conversation from the start, they could have the next girlfriend. They could take that new job. Tiny little fucking things. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it's, for me, it's kind of like sport, racing, rugby, tennis, God knows what. The slightest fucking maneuver, if I go a little millimeter to the left trying to overtake a guy, I'm fucked. I crash into the wall, huge crash. If a tennis player gets 1 millimeter offline, out of bounds, bang, championship's over. His whole life is ruined because he didn't win it, da-da-da. And all of a sudden, he's a changed man or woman. I hope I'm making sense, guys, with that. Get to your kid as soon as you can. All right? And that's all you can do. Now, what happens if they don't respond well to it? Well, if they don't respond well, then look, Jesus, as long as you know you've done your best, you know? As long as you know. And it might take them a little while to adjust. Now, like I said, I'm one of the lucky ones. Me and my siblings, we are lucky. It was, for me, I honestly think it was a healthy breakup. There wasn't, you know, huge courts and hearings and, oh, I'm going to take him to the cleaners. I'm going to take her to the cleaners. There was none of that. Thank God. It was great. Well, sorry. Well, not great, but you know what I mean. If you're in that scenario, I was one of the lucky ones, put it that way. But you can always make things easier, guys, right? If you're having a rough divorce here. So like 5 to 10 years later, what I did realize as a kid, great mental toughness. Simply fantastic mental toughness when it comes to looking at relationships. So let's even look at the relationships as in having a new girlfriend, this or that, okay? So I'm 15, 16 at the time. Fast forward to 26, 25, 27, whatever. I'm looking at things differently. And this is the healthy part of this. You see, because what I realized as a child, guys, as a child of divorce, is that the big lesson for me was, number one, it wasn't my fault. That's for goddamn sure. Number two, don't rush in to a relationship. Guys and girls, I see so many people around the world right now who are married, kids, and they're fucking miserable because they buckled under the pressure of getting married. Very different scenario for women. And quite honestly, I don't envy women in this, I have to admit, because if I was a woman and if I had the biological clock ticking, I would feel that pressure and I would be exactly like a lot of women out there. Jeez, I want the kids, you know, like it's very hard for me to talk what it's like for women. So I'm not. All right. So it is a little easier for men in this way, or maybe a lot easier. Not sure, but you know, huge pressure. But you know something? Whether you're a man or a woman, isn't it better to meet the right person? And guys, I still believe that to this day. Still. And sometimes I have these nice little, I wouldn't say patting my back patting myself on the back reminders, right? When I see a miserable relationship, I don't do that. But it always brings me back to, I hear about some story that this guy's miserable, this woman's miserable. Oh, and that, oh, sure, look, do they really like each other? And people are talking about this, you know, and you can tell they fucking hate each other. I'm not on about my parents now, guys. I'm on about people who I meet who are still married to this day. They fucking despise each other. I mean, these people probably have fantasies about their husband or wife gone from this planet. Like, I don't know, but you know, I've seen some real harsh shit here, and the bitterness that gets built up. Bitterness. But yet, oh no, no, have to be married. And the worst thing about it, not every woman, of course, because the main woman, I personally think the reason women want to get the marriage is because, you know, the biological clock. Very understandable. I think there is both men and women, though, out there, some men and some women, that really do care about their social profile, let's say, and they, oh, we have to get married. Let's look like I'm a success and all this. And yet the funny thing is, no one gives a fuck. No one gives a fuck if you're driving the beautiful new sports car down the road. No one gives a shit if you're driving a piece of shit down the road. No one gives a shit if you're married and loads of kids. No one gives a shit if you're single and no kids. No one gives a flying fiddler's fuck at the end of the day. No one's impressing anyone here. Nobody is impressing anyone. Oh, I'll get married now. That's the next thing to do, boy. And look at me. I've got a great, successful, happy life. Give me a break. Give me a break. And, you know, I have to admit, there's people out there that I know that are married. And if I even talked like this to them, they'd have a fucking meltdown. Because there's quite a few people that would never, ever admit to themselves that they actually divorced or they got married and it was a waste of their time. Maybe I'm getting very heavy here, guys, but this is the way I look at this. This is the way I look at this. There's been some girlfriends in my life to this day. Now, maybe you do have a question here, right? How does Peter feel about being in a relationship? As in, would I jump into one right here, right now, today? And the question is, absolutely, yes, I would. So it's never turned me off. As a divorced kid, it's never turned me off being in a relationship, ever. It's made me more picky, I suppose, if that's the word, as in, or more selective, as in, well, hang on, don't just jump in here, man. You know, don't just jump in here. And by the way, guys, I would love to have kids. Love to have them. I'd love to meet the right woman and have the right kids. But that's the key. I'd like to meet the right woman. You know? Now, would I love to have kids without a woman? 100%. I'd love, I don't know, at this stage, I'd even love that even more because it's so hard to meet somebody anyway. But really, at the end of the day, it would be lovely to meet somebody. So guys, never worry if you think your kids are going to be turned off by relationships. Make sure you have that fucking talk with them though. And now, even if you're a divorced kid, right, like in my boat, if you've never had this conversation with your parents, maybe you should. Maybe this has been in your mind for decades. Maybe this has been in your mind for years. Maybe it has, and maybe you haven't realized it. You know, take this away, process it, think about it. Maybe it has fucked up some of your relationships. And what I would say, if you're thinking, Jesus, maybe he has a point here, go back to when your parents separated. How old were you? And if you were young enough, but you still had relationships back then, you know, your first boyfriend, your first girlfriend or whatever it was, whatever, okay, whatever your age. Do you look at relationships the exact same way now as you did back then? Or is there anything different? Do you trust the person less? The person that you're in a relationship now. Now, look at it this way. If you don't, okay, well, did I trust women back then? Or did I trust men back then? So is there a difference? You know, always go back to go forward. That's the way I'd look at it. And here's the thing. You can get over these trust issues too. Even if you do have these trust issues, based from divorce or whatever it is, it's a very simple solution to start trusting people again. I've said this in some of my other podcasts before. If you want to trust somebody, be trustworthy to others. I wouldn't even say trust yourself. Be honest, upfront, and trustworthy to others. And if you can do that, you will grow confidence and respect for yourself. If you can do that, then you will absolutely know two ways about it. Be able to trust other people. Because if you can trust yourself and believe in yourself, you can definitely believe that, well, hey, I'm not the only one out there that's like this, right? Surely I can trust other people. I can trust myself. You know, it's kind of like cheating. Now, I know we're going off the talking point here, guys, a little bit here, but bear with me. Give me some rope on this one. You know, it's like cheating. If you think, oh my God, I've got fucked over in my past. Can I get over this? Well, the best thing you do is, if you've been cheated on, never cheat on the next person. Ever. Because you'll be able to gain trust back with yourself. You'll be able to gain trust back with people. Not everybody will cheat. Do you know what I mean? Okay, so anyway, back to the point. So the advantages I have found, guys, of a divorced child is I appreciate a relationship now. Like, I really do. Not that I didn't before, no. But I suppose I have more appreciation that to meet the right woman would be amazing. Because I suppose this makes you think about these type of things. So definitely would have an appreciation to meet the love of my life, have kids with her. It'd be great. It would be great. Pickier, like I said, you know, and I'm always trying to be very self-aware as a child, and right, okay, listen, is this girl now for me? Am I putting my head in the fucking sand here? Is she treating me like shit? Things like this. I'm always self-aware of that, and that's a good thing. Now, some people might say, oh, geez, you're analyzing things way too much, aren't you? No, well, hey, listen, if you're an analyzer, fucking analyze things to death, because you'll eventually find some scraps or something to come out of it where you'll be either exhausted and you've actually gone so far that you know the limit then of overthinking, or maybe you will actually find some gold in the coal mine, so to speak. And it's just a reminder, guys, that marriage isn't always peachy. It's not the big fantasy that everybody wants. You know? Now, that's my side of the story, guys. Let's have a quick look at the this article here. Now, they're just saying here, the headline here is, how can divorce stress impact your emotional well-being? Now, guys, if you are divorced out there, this is where you guys would come in more than me, okay? But maybe I can relate to some of this. The emotional toll of divorce can be immense. It can have a major impact on your mental health. It is important to understand the various ways that divorce impacts our emotions and how we can work to mitigate these effects. Here are some ways that divorce can impact your mental health. All right. Anxiety. Divorce can trigger feelings of anxiety and lead to chronic worrying about the future, including how to cover expenses, adjusting to changes, parenting, and what life will be like after the divorce. Depression. It is common for people to experience depression during and after divorce. Feelings of sadness, loneliness, inadequate, and a loss of control or direction can become overwhelming. Anger is a typical response to grief, because it is all easier to feel angry than sad. Well, actually, anger is just a cover for sadness. That's what they say in psychology, guys. If you're feeling very angry, deep down, we're feeling sad. And we just, in a way, we're kind of deflecting, we're avoiding what we really, truly feel. Guilt. Divorce can come with feelings of guilt, particularly if there was infidelity or underlying issues that caused the separation. So I guess, you see, this is where I can't relate to you guys now. I mean, I can't imagine. Obviously, guilt is flying around here when divorce kicks in. So in other words, a kid can feel guilty. Now then, a parent can feel guilty because you're breaking your kid's heart, or, you know, that maybe that's what you're thinking. Something like this. But trust me, guys. Trust me. They're going to be perfect. Not perfect, sorry. They're going to come out okay on the long run. They really, truly will. Social isolation, they're saying it can happen. Divorce can often lead to social isolation as people feel like they need to retreat from their usual social circles. I wonder, can anybody actually relate to that? Okay, now here they say, how can you help your child cope with your divorce? Okay, here's where I can step in here again. They're saying, here are some steps you can take to help care for your child's mental health following a divorce. Create a safe and structured home environment. During and after a divorce, children may feel anxious or uncertain about the future. Setting up a stable and structured home environment can help reduce the sense of uncertainty and provide a sense of stability and routine in their lives. I think, guys, the most important thing to do is you need to have the conversation that it's not their fault. Because that can creep into other areas. So if they do feel anxious, maybe it's because they're feeling anxious because they're thinking it's their fault. All of a sudden, oh my God, what am I going to do now to mom when I live with her? Holy Jesus, is she going to be okay? Am I going to fuck her up even more? You know, all these sorts of weird scenarios in your head. Next one. Encourage open communication. Well, here we go. Kids can often have many questions and concern about divorce. It's important to parents foster open lines of communication with their children. Here we go. Make time to listen to your children's concerns and offer reassurance and support as needed. And guys, like I said, I would go that extra step. If you do have a kid that doesn't talk much emotionally, they're a bottler, well, fucking sit them down and you fucking ram it down their throats in a nice way, of course, but you ram it down their throats and you fucking make sure that they know that it's not their fault. Even if the child doesn't say a word, just let them listen. You know, even if they have to go to that extent. Here we go. Another one. Maintain a positive relationship with the other parent. Well, that's a great thing for me. My parents, they did have a positive scenario outlook when things, they didn't, you know, they weren't fighting around us kids when they separated. No, not at all. They were great that way. So I was, you know, blessing myself here. I was very lucky. We were very lucky with that. Next one, seek support from a therapist or support group. Divorce can be an incredibly challenging experience for children, and it may be helpful to seek support from a therapist or a support group. Encourage self-care, using proper measures to care for themselves, as well as encouraging their children to engage in healthy activities. Helping kids maintain healthy habits like exercise, sleep, and eating well can positively impact children's mental well-being despite the current difficulties. There you go. So guys, in closing today, I just wanted to call out that article here. We'll come back again when we're going to talk about divorce a lot more on the podcast as we go along, guys. So I'm delighted that we've brought it up now today for the first time. And I get it. I can't understand what it's like for a divorced parent, but I can relate to divorced kids, just like the other way around. A divorced parent can't relate to a divorced kid, etc., etc. But what I will say this, guys, in closing off, communicate with your child. Make sure that you tell them it ain't their fault. And you know something? They're going to be okay in the long run. They really, truly are. And I put my hand to God here. And I tell you this, if they're not okay with this, they have other issues going on. Now, this is my last close. And I'll tell you why, guys. And I'll tell you why it's not all about divorce. That, oh my God, my little Johnny, he's a fucking mess. He's a complete lunatic. Oh, it's because of divorce. Bullshit. You know why? Because my name is Peter Walsh. I used to be a superstar racing driver. Guys, I was going around signing autographs on kids' hats. I was on TV a lot of the time. I went from that to nothing when I had to, unfortunately, retire from racing because of sponsorship. You've no idea how much of an impact that can have on anyone's life. Now, that's number one. Number two, as many of you know, I'm adopted. Okay, never had a problem with it. And I don't know, what else do we have? Number three, I'm single. I don't have any kids. Now, where am I going with all this? I don't give a fuck that I'm adopted. I don't give a fuck that the racing has ended. Well, now I don't. I used to, right? But I don't anymore. As in terms of, I'd still love to be a race driver, but it doesn't affect me where, oh my God, man, I really want to be. No, it doesn't. It was a huge adjustment for me when I stopped racing. And I still am trying to adjust, guys. Genuinely, still am trying to adjust these days. I still have my moments. But I'm always look back on my racing career so goddamn grateful that I had it. And what else? Single? No kids? And my real point here, guys, is I could sit here bitching and moaning. Oh, and sorry, hey. My parents are divorced as well. There you go. There's another one. If I really wanted to be a little moaner and make things all about me and poor Peter's a little victim, I have had plenty of goddamn reasons to feel sorry for myself and just be a mess. Okay? Plenty of reasons. My point is, it's not about my parents being divorced. It's not about me being adopted. It's not about me being an ex-racing driver and it's all gone. If I want to find a way through to be happy in this life, I'll find a way. And I, listen, some days it can be a struggle. Of course it can. It can be a struggle for anybody, whether your parents are divorced or not, or you're adopted or not, or you were a big superstar sports person and all of a sudden you're not. It can be a struggle anytime, you know? Now, luckily, I've never had these problems. The only real problem I had was the racing. That was it. That was it. Adoption never bothered me. The parents divorced? Yeah, bothered me for a little while. Racing, that really bothered me, really got to me. That was the big one for me. But I'm still right here, baby. And do we realize how fucking lucky we are to be alive? 4 trillion to 1 odds. You can win the lotto 9 times over and still have, those are better odds than being here in the first place. We need some fucking gratitude. We need some fucking gratitude and be grateful. I mean, Jesus, maybe even you can look back in your marriage, even though it ends. Maybe you could look back and go, I'm grateful that I was married. I'm grateful that I have kids. Or no kids. There's always a pro and con to both. Better to love and never loved. Or whatever that saying is, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean, guys? I've had plenty of reasons to go around being the, quote, victim in my life. But I don't. I don't give a shit. So that's the point, guys. Never feel guilty. And if you have kids out there that they will, oh, well, you know, Johnny now is, he was stealing and he got put into prison. Oh, why is that? Oh, well, it's simply because my parents got divorced and I never got over it. Bullshit. You need to definitely, guys, help your kids along the way, right? Because they'll get back to a happier place much faster if you help them, okay? They'll still get back to their happy place, but you'll help them get there faster. That's the only, yeah, it's the only advice really I have. So, guys, we're going to leave it there. We'll obviously definitely come back with more divorce podcasts as we go along. And I hope it helps. Cheers, guys. Thanks for listening today. Love you all. Bye-bye. Peter Walsh. Walsh. Walsh.